Father, we ask once again that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we treasure your word. We value it above anything as our direction for living, our guideline, the very words of God. And we praise you this morning. We worship you. We seek to do everything that would honor you, that would lift up the name of our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. It is God's story, and he will stick with it. God will accomplish his plan and his purpose no matter what we humans do. No matter what we do as individuals, no matter our contentions and ideas and opinions, no matter our scheming and plotting and calculating. In fact, it doesn't matter even if we were to gather the entire population of Earth and vote. The leaders of the nations of Earth could proclaim, "Let's make a ballot." And the whole world will vote for either God's plan or our plan. Democracy, majority rules. What do the people want? It doesn't matter. Absolutely no effect on the will of God. God will not swerve from his eternal purpose. God will carry out his plan and fulfill his purpose. That is never in doubt. From the very first cryptic, mysterious, esoteric words of hope that Eve overheard as God cursed the serpent, some vague reference to a conquering seed or offspring, to the time when that holy seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns before the watching eyes of the entire planet, there has never been any doubt, nor will there ever be any doubt, that God will carry out his plan and his purpose. Even when the promised fulfillment of his plan and purpose hinge on something as tenuous as the life of a human baby. In the throes of utter gloom and defeat, as the guilt of sin pounded Eve in full force, as the darkness and agony of deep despair filled her soul as she realized that she had broken trust with her God, on that day, Eve heard God curse the serpent, that slithering, deceiving tool of Satan. And as God cursed the serpent, Eve heard this promise. Speaking to the serpent, God had said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman being Eve, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In the midst of her bitter defeat, God had promised ultimate victory. God will carry out his plan and his purpose. Adam and Eve sinned, and God threw them out of the garden and continued his plan. The entire world rebelled, and God destroyed them with a flood and continued with his plan. After the flood, God gives his plan again to the survivors. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now by this time, you would think that we humans would surely have caught on, would have this thing down. But no, they met together and came up with a plan of their own. Let's build a town and make a name for ourselves. And nothing has really changed in the centuries later in this age-old battle of the will. God gives us a plan, a vision for life, but we settle for less, much less than what God offers. We have 6,000 years of precedent in rejecting God's plan for one of our own choosing. We just don't get the message that God's plan for life really is better than our plan for life. But God will carry out only His plan. He will fulfill only His purpose, not ours. It is God's story, and He will stick to it. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Reading in Genesis 11, verse 1, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there." The first thing I want us to see this morning, and this will grow as we continue, they rejected God's plan and settled. They rejected God's plan and settled. And I thought, how appropriate for every generation of humans since then. We reject God's plan and we settle. Even sometimes as believers, even sometimes after we've been brought into the kingdom of God, we've believed in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. We've received His gift of eternal life. We began living for the Lord, and then we settle for less. Sometimes, often, because of the sacrifices that it would cause us to continue in the way that God would lead. We admire and respect and we lift up the Lord Jesus for in the garden and his tremendous struggle and not with the cup, but him completing that battle and saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." And we say that in our minds, but the reality of it sometimes is not worked out in the practice of our lives. We settle for so much less, just as from the very beginning. Now, I've actually got a pretty interesting chart on the inside of your study notes, and I'm not sure how much we'll look at that, but let's just look at an overview. This is something that stood out to me, and I thought I've got to try to get this down. And two things that really, well, first of all, what stood out is, and you may have been already able to tell because you've heard it enough times this morning, God will carry out His plan. He will fulfill His purpose. We should take great encouragement in that. He has, from the very beginning, in fact, you'll see on those notes on that table, that this plan began before the foundations of the world. And it culminates in heaven. You know, if you look at God's success with the human race, and we could look at it from one angle, and it's like He just didn't do very well, did He? He created, He gave them this beautiful, wonderful creation. He said it was good, it was good, it was good, it was very good. And they didn't even last a year, probably just a few months before they rebelled. The serpent came along, inspired by the ancient serpent, Satan, the devil, the deceiver of the whole world. He came along with a different plan. He said, "Hey, you've got options here." And they complicated it, just like we do with our philosophies and with sometimes our religious maneuverings. They complicated it, and they said, "Well, did God really say?" Now, we've been over this before, but let me just give us this review. Well, yes, He did, and it was very clear. See that tree over there? Don't eat from that one. That's not complicated. But they made it complicated because they wanted another way. They wanted another plan, and they chose the other plan. How did that work out for them? Not so well, did it? But did that stop we humans from continuing to reject God's plan? So they were booted out of the garden. And God told them again, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And so they did that. But then the whole world we looked at last week rejected God's plan, except how many people? 8 people. Still not catching on. You know, and one of my wonderings, and this isn't scripture, but you have to wonder, because sometimes the thought that we have in our mind, well, if this many people oppose it, maybe God will change his mind. Maybe he'll blink. Maybe Satan was playing chicken with God, and he said, I'm going to corrupt the entire population of the world. You won't dare destroy the whole population of the world, God. But what do we know about God? God will carry out his plan. He will fulfill his purpose. And out of the entire population of the world, 8 people were on that ark. The invitation was there to be more, but 8 people were on that ark. They didn't learn. And now we come to today's text. And the nations are gathering again. And we could get in, there's all kinds of complicated and lengthy discussions about the discussion of the earth being divided at the time of Peleg and what that means, and the table of nations, and the pattern that God gave for the dispersion of the nations, and the statement in chapter 10 that they all had their own language and their own cultures already. What does that mean when you come to chapter 11, verse 1, it said they were still all the same language. Well, let me just give you that one, by the way. I believe what that is just the Bible's pretty famous for not giving us things in chronological order, and you have to look at chapters 10 and 11 together. But what I'm trying to say is we could go into all kinds of directions, and we could make this very complicated, and we could be eyeball deep in research. But what hit me as I studied this, and I'm making one note after the other and following through, is it just comes down to, it's like most of these issues of the faith, it comes down to something very simple. God said, here's my plan. He told them, again, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Just cover the earth. God just keeps saying it. Said they gathered together and they said, you know what? We're going to settle down here. I think when we see principles like this, I think we need to allow God to bring them into our contemporary society, into our lives. And so we ask ourselves, this is an ongoing battle. This is an ongoing principle of defeat, is if we keep choosing plan B as opposed to God's plan A. And I'm telling you what, Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois, God has got something stirring here. We don't want to settle for any old plan B. We don't, you know, we got, oh, well, they settled. Well, no, we don't. We want to whatever God would have for us, whatever transformation he needs to making our lives, renewing our minds and transforming us and building us and growing us. And at times, he needs to forgive us because we're sinful creatures still. But we don't want to settle, do you? Don't you want the holy fire of God's Holy Spirit stirring in your heart and soul, and that you're marching forward? And just little old church in the boondocks of Western Illinois, a bright, shining star in the kingdom of God. That's what we want. We have the faithful souls and hearts and minds and spirits here. We're not perfect, let me tell you. You know, I don't have to tell you, do I? But the faithful spirits, God's got something to work with here. Let's not settle. These optional plans, plan B can be sound really good. Plan B can sound very religious. But I don't think anyone ever settles for plan B that they don't know that I'm really not doing God's will. I'm really haven't poured my life out as a living sacrifice before Almighty God. And if there's anything that I ever want to do in this little old life that I have, is to pour my life out as a living sacrifice to my Lord, for whatever it's worth, for however many days or moments or years that are left. And I think I see that same spirit and attitude in our fellowship. So let this lesson for the ages speak to us. Back to this table, we see this procedure, this a continual, if you look at it down through the ages, it just became very interesting. The plan rejected. God, look at what God put up with his chosen people. The ones he said, I took, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I didn't chose you because there was anything about you to be chosen. He said, I chose you because I'm sovereign Lord. And he made them and he shaped them and he rescued them. He made them God's chosen people. And for hundreds of years, he put up with their stiff neck and their rebellion. They're continually choosing plan B, still wanting to hang on to God and choosing plan B. Look at what God put up with. Now, here's another really interesting thing, and it's the baby connection. It's the baby connection. And what do we have? That very first esoteric, mystic, obscure prophecy that her offspring will conquer your offspring when God cursed the serpent. A baby. This is how powerful God is. Now we know this, but let it soak in for a minute. This is how powerful God is. That it would be, he would bring about this ultimate victory. He said somewhere down the line, and of course the line has to continue, somewhere down the line, the baby will be born. Now it's interesting, and I made a mistake. On this chart, not a mistake, but I left something out, and it was all done and printed. But I left one baby out, and that was the baby Moses. We had the baby here, and then we had the baby that was promised that would continue the seed. You got to remember this: the seed, the offspring that was promised back when Eve is there, and she is ripped apart. You can't imagine the darkness and the guilt that she felt. She had never sinned before. And she and Adam, on that day, she was deceived by the serpent. And they rebelled against God, and for the first time, they felt darkness. And they, from their sin, the earth was cursed. And her heart is ripped. But she hears God curse the serpent. And her ears just might have perked up just a little bit when she heard the promise that a baby would eventually be born from her that would bring ultimate victory and crush the head of that serpent, the devil. Just that little tenuous, fragile thread of a human baby. And then with Abraham, he even laughed. Sarah laughed. Sarah got in trouble for laughing, didn't she? When she heard that her 100-year-old husband and her 90-year-old body were going to have a baby. This is how God carried through this promise. God will carry out his plan and fulfill his purpose. It's a done deal. The tenuous thread, just that thread of a human life. That's how powerful God is. If Satan could have somehow stopped that line. But Satan. And God is God. And then the baby I left off the table. The baby Moses. Picture that scene. What was the background for that? What had Pharaoh said to do with all the baby boys?
Kill them all!
Can you imagine? You think our news is bad. Can you imagine receiving that news? Killing all the baby boys of this particular nation? And what must have run through the thoughts of some of them who were in touch with God and were aware and familiar with his scriptures when they're thinking, no, the promised seed had to come. we got to have this baby boy. It's got to come through. And it did, didn't it? In fact, with maybe God's twist of irony or just a massive display of his sovereignty, maybe a little humor involved, Pharaoh ended up paying for his upbringing and education. And then around 600 BC, we have a prophecy. We get a little more detail. We get a little more picture comes in to focus a little bit more. That the land of great darkness, but there's hope, because there'll be a virgin. She'll have a baby, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah spoke of that in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6. But there's this promise of God will carry out his plan, will fulfill his purpose. But then it's the baby factor again. And that's how powerful our God is. And then the ultimate baby factor. God didn't come, you know, I heard something the other day, the Syrians attacking and threatening, and Old Testament, it was, can't remember which king, but God just sent one angel. One angel, not 10,000, not 10,000 and 10,000, not 100,000, not 10, not 20, but one angel, and wiped out 185,000 Syrians. So he could have come in power and force. But see, God had a plan already before the foundation of the world how he was going to do things. Adam and Eve's rebellion didn't surprise him, did it? The entire population of the world defying him and just going into the depths of wickedness in their imaginations, that didn't surprise him, did it? When these folks gathered together at Babel and said, let's build a tower to the heavens, to the clouds, did that surprise him? Nope, God has a plan. And so the baby, this baby came, the baby Jesus. God didn't come with a thunderous roar. He came with the cry of an infant child. That's how powerful our God is. We need to know these things, how powerful our God is. Because see, it's that God who promises to take care of you and to take care of me. It's that God that promises to hold you and me in his hand and let no one separate us. It's that God that says, who can separate you from the love of Christ? It's that God who Paul speaks of in God's presence, that we are more than conquerors because of that God, that sovereign Lord. I just want us to see this progression through here, this progression that is seen in a faithful, enduring church. And we won't look at that table more, but I would encourage you to look that over, and it's very, very encouraging to see that. And of course, I couldn't include everything, and you saw I had to make it this long even to give us that overview, but very, very powerful. But verses 11, 1 and 2, they settled. Back to Genesis 11, verse 3, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. What'd God say? I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What'd they say? We've got a better plan. See, it can get real complicated, and boy, I mean, I have scholars in these commentaries, and they spend pages and pages on the tables of the nations and the dispersion and the pattern, and this group went here and that group went there, and that's all interesting, and I'm not saying it's not important, and I'm not saying we shouldn't study it. What I'm saying is, though, the main message can't get lost in all of that extraneous research. Because what it comes down to is just, we're not going to do, it's not your will, Lord, it's our will, that will be done. You want to spread us all over. You know what we're going to do? We're going to stop here and build a tower and a city. And you know what's interesting about building this? See, it says, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Now, this is a lot like us in today's society, too, and actually every society that's ever surfaced on the planet. We want to live our lives, but we still want to reach in and bring some heaven down to make our lives better, don't we? See, they didn't completely ditch heaven, did they? They're like a lot of people now. We don't want to, we want heaven, we just don't want God. Well, you're not going to be uncomfortable in heaven. I mean, you're not going to be very comfortable. You'll be very uncomfortable in heaven. Because that's where everything is perfect and holy. Everything is God. That's why it's heaven. It's His light. It's everything. And through Jesus Christ, He makes us a part of that. He makes us into these spiritual beings, these supernatural beings who will be received, completely received and accepted in His heaven. But so much of our religion, and it's interesting, and if some of you saw The Atheist Delusion, and I saw a television show the other day, and it just completely, you know, no interest in God, and their immorality involved, and then somebody got killed, and what do you think, what song did they sing at the graveside? Come on.
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Okay, I've shook my fist at you, God, my whole life, and I've lived however I want to live, but I still hope there's a heaven, so sing Amazing Grace for me when the time comes. And if you saw The Atheist Delusion, by the way, I'm going to show that again. Liz, for one, had a conflict that she couldn't get out of. There are others of you that were not able to attend or chose not to, and so... Like what I'd like for you is, if you'd like to see it, say something to me and we'll work out a time, and probably an evening of the week would be good during the daytime with the light and everything. But if you haven't seen that and would like to see it, please say something to me. We have it. We don't pay more for showing it again or anything like that. If you haven't seen The Atheist Delusion, you want to, because here you have and it's just you see this in other things that I've it was another video and along the same idea dealing with atheists. But like, I'm an atheist, and it's like, well, do you think you're going to heaven? Well, if there is one, I sure hope I do. See, we just don't get it, that what God offers, it might not seem like it. In fact, it can seem very difficult. It can seem like a burden. You know, what can God give me that I don't have now, or that I can't come up with on my own to be happy? Well, until you trust Him, you don't see that. And we settle for less. And it's been a pattern for 6,000 years where we settle for less and we don't get it. And it's about time we started getting it and letting God speak to our hearts. And we think, well, I'm in church. Well, I talk about heaven. Well, I can talk about the Bible. You know, you can do all of those things. Every religious thing that there is, every religious performance, every type of worship, you can do all of that and be as far from God as the worst prisoner in the prison system. That's not it. Everybody wants that little bit of heaven, and that's what they did, their tower. Let's build it up to the heavens. We could... You know, there's, of course, all the discussion. Were they really trying to get to the heavens, and what they mean by that, and what were they worshiping? All of that. Not saying that's not important, but you can't miss the main point of that is they're going to settle here, but we still want heaven. Now, they might call it God or not God, or just like the atheists do, that this invisible force or whatever. Had one person state, well, you know, can't be a personal God. It's like, we want that little bit of heaven. We got to watch that in our lives too, don't we? We don't want the Lordship of Christ in our lives. We want to keep living our lives as we want to live them. And we're not getting it, folks. If we're opposing God on anything in our lives, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. That's where the abundance is, when we just keep giving our will. And the really great thing is, I mean, it is so great. The really great thing is you can just be a mess and you can blow it and God doesn't give up on you. You sin, then confess your sin. If you're a knucklehead, then confess you're a knucklehead. If you're a gossip, then confess you're a gossip. If you're a backbiter, then confess you're a backbiter. Whatever it is, if you have immoral thoughts, then confess it to God. God will take care of all of that. That's why Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth. His price he paid in his shed blood fully satisfies the sin debt. It really is that simple. Well, they rejected God's plan and built for themselves, verses 3 and 4, verses 5 through 9. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. They settled. They rejected God's plan and settled. They rejected God's plan. They said, we will build for ourselves. And we do that too. We can do that in religious. We can build a lot of things for ourselves. They settled. They chose plan B. What'd God do? God carried out his plan, didn't he? It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. So what's the key for us? Well, make sure we're right there in God's plan. Make sure God has our heart and our mind and our soul. You know, a lot of times we use these verses, and one of them's Jeremiah 29:11, if you want to turn there. Anybody ever heard somebody claim this? Come on, just give me a hand or two, because I know probably every person in this room has heard it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. No one here has ever heard that? Okay, thank you, Randy. I see Randy's heard this, but the rest of you, I don't know. I know. Anybody ever seen a poster? Or you get a Facebook post and it's got Jeremiah 29:11 there all prettied up. And let me ask you this. I bet you haven't ever seen a Jeremiah 18:11 poster. I wouldn't want to get into that. So I don't think, let me change my wording. I don't think you would have seen a Jeremiah 18:11 poster. Would you turn there? Jeremiah 18:11. Now therefore say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Anybody seen that one on a poster? Anybody write a song about that one? No poster, no song written about that one. You see, the thing that we do is we don't get it. We do this bargaining in our minds, and we will claim Jeremiah 29:11, or we Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to whose purpose? His purpose. We'll claim that verse too, because we'll say, well, God, will you make my plan your purpose? And we claim Jeremiah 29:11 because we're going to live, we're going to settle. We're not going to bow before the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're going to settle. But Lord, if I claim this verse, I've got this really good plan. It's not quite what you're telling me I should do, but it's a really good plan. So can I claim Jeremiah 29:11, and you'll push this baby through for me? Ain't gonna happen. God's plan. You say, well, God's arbitrary. Well, he is in one sense, but he's also all-wise, all-knowing. His wisdom is infinite. His ways are past finding out. And he's the one who says, I will tell you the way to go if you'll listen. So wouldn't it be, don't you think he really does have a better plan and a better outline for your life than you do? Let's pray. Father, again, we praise you. We value your word. We value your Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us, to direct us. Father, we're just like all those other people. We've got the stiff neck and foolish desires, sinful desires. But we pray that we can be at a place humbled before you where we can actually hear you, that we can get it, that we can understand your way is better than our way, even when that way seems hard and long and painful, that we know, Father, that what we give up is nothing compared to what you will put deeply into our hearts and minds and soul. Help us to know that, Lord, each one of us, help us to know that as a church. Father, as you continue to grow us, as you continue to give us a vision for life, a vision for how this little church on the boondocks of Western Illinois can bring you great praise and honor and glory. Help us to be listening, to firmly hold your plan, to reject any plan B of ourselves. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.